Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, today is the last of our Breaking Free series, and it's Breaking Free from Strongholds. And breaking free from strongholds is something that I think will surprise you when you understand a little bit about what these are. A lot of times we think that it's related to an addiction or something like that, but it can be completely different as well. So look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and yours may say imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now flip back to Luke 22, because Luke 22 is a case in point. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is kind of a definition or an explanation of a stronghold, and now we get to a case in point where we see a stronghold in action and how the Lord shows us and reveals behind the scenes what's going on. And let's begin in verse 29. "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," notice he's calling Simon by his old name, "indeed, Satan has asked," or demanded is a stronger word for it, closer to the Greek, "for you that he may sift you as wheat." Here's the key verse right here, verse 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And how true that was. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this story in Luke that helps us to see behind the scenes at what a stronghold can look like. And Father, we pray today that if any of us be bound by a stronghold that's keeping us in frustration, that keeps us miserable, that keeps us fearful, whatever it may be, Father, we pray today that we'll be able to break free from that. In Jesus' name, amen. You ask yourself, well, what does a stronghold do? And explain a stronghold a little bit. Well, go back to our look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 again. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare," in other words, how we war, "are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." And for today's text, I want to focus on that word for arguments. If you have the King James Version, you may have imaginations that is written right there, and that's an important word in the Greek. And what that means, logismos or logismos, that what that means is rational. You can have a rational stronghold, or you can have an irrational stronghold. And so what do strongholds do? Well, strongholds can blur our biblical worldview and deceive us. They can cause us to argue with and compromise revealed truth in God's Word. A stronghold can make us frustrated at God and make us question his ways. That's what Satan's goal is, by the way. They can cause us to be judgmental of others' motives. And everything that you see right there that I just read happens in Luke 22. Strongholds can be defeated, and when they are, here's the result of a defeated stronghold: joy and fulfillment in living for Jesus. Confidence and assurance, especially in our prayers. Have you ever prayed and you feel like that you just don't have any confidence? And I mean, you're praying and you're thinking, "Lord, are you even hearing my prayers? God, do you even care?" Let me tell you, Satan will put a stronghold in your heart in order for you to doubt God's goodness and his love and his ability to hear you. Faith and hope comes when a stronghold is defeated. In fact, that's the umbrella of our obedience and the blessing that we receive from Jesus Christ. To give you an example of kind of how a stronghold works, we've been bestowed a kingdom. We just read that in Luke 22. And we have this kingdom that's an invisible kingdom that we walk in by faith, but we see its results visibly. It's kind of like the wind. You can feel the wind, but you cannot see the wind. And we're trying to head in a direction with the kingdom, but then there's another force that's trying to push us back the other direction. And it reminds me one time I was going to work, and I had a 1964, which is years ago, had a 1964 Chevrolet pickup. It was green, little old step-side pickup, and the bed had started rotting out, and I had started cutting the tops of the bolts off, but I didn't realize that what I was doing is what held the bed to the truck. And so I'm headed up 850 one morning, and I'm stretched out in that little six-cylinder running about 65, 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I feel that my truck just got a boost of power that it never had before. And I look in the mirror, and there goes my truck bed sliding down Farm Road 850. My truck's going one way, and my truck bed's going the opposite direction. Well, I don't have time to share with you the trials and errors of trying to put that bed back on the truck and tying it down with Romex electrical wire. But I managed to get it on there. It didn't set quite straight, but the truck drove straight. And when we come to a stronghold, there's something you need to understand. It's on your outline. Is you can break it down like this. There's a natural outline in Luke 22. And the first step to breaking a stronghold is this. Identify, is it a rational or irrational stronghold? Is it a rational or irrational? Now, to explain the difference in the two, when we spoke on fears, breaking free from fears, those are phobias. Those are irrational strongholds. Those kind of things is we can relate to. It's like I have a phobia that I'm going to have this certain disease, or I'm going to die in a terrorist attack, or I'm going to, these kind of fears can hold us back. Those are strongholds, but those are the fears that we talked about recently, so I don't want to go in the direction of the irrational strongholds. But what is a rational stronghold? A rational stronghold is something that you think makes sense, but you're in complete rebellion and opposition against God. For example, I can't tithe because I just don't have the money. That's a rational stronghold because the Bible says, test me in this, old man. You can. I know that by experience because I do it. Another rational stronghold could be God's telling you to witness to somebody or to share the gospel, but you've already convinced yourself rationally and logically, I can't talk to that person about you, Lord, because I'm going to push them away. If I explain the gospel to them and tell my story, it's going to push them away, and they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. Where does that reasoning come from? Satan. Satan plants thoughts in our minds, and he tempts us, and he says, listen, you can't do that. If you do that, you're going to push them away. If you do that, they're going to reject you. And what's that going to do to your ego? Because that's how Satan works. But whenever we just pray and we say, you know what, Lord, I'm putty in your hands, and I'm going to do whatever you've asked me to do and whatever you've called me to do, and I'm just going to be obedient, then what happens is we see the Lord go to work. Look at verse 29 in Luke 22. Now, this is important because Jesus is getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is just prior to the cross. They've already had the Lord's Supper, and now he is giving some final instructions. And Peter thinks that he is ready for the world right here. He's got some legismos strongholds. He has some rational strongholds. In Peter's mind, Peter thinks that he's making sense. But Jesus sees through it because he sees into the invisible world. So here we go. He says, and I bestow upon you a kingdom. You and I, in Jesus Christ, have a new kingdom. Just as my Father bestowed one upon me. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, they had been arguing over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, this should have been a hint to Peter that God is trying to tell me something. Because now, instead of Jesus calling Peter by his name that Jesus had given him, now he's calling Peter by his old name. his old man name, his unregenerated name. And he says, Simon, Simon. That's supposed to get his attention. He says, indeed, Satan has asked. I love this, by the way. It just shows that Satan can't get away with anything that the Lord doesn't give him permission to do. And so God is going to use this to test Peter. Now, I want to encourage you right here, because some of you may be in the center of a testing right now by the Lord. And you may be being tested. God tests those that are his. You know why he does that? To build our character and to make us better servants for him. He's going to build character within you and conform you to the image of Christ. And the only way he can do that is to take the things that you know of God and then test them in your heart and see if you can pass that test. In fact, if you buy a product today, it's been tested. It's gone through a series of tests to prove that it can hold up under the pressure. Well, that's what God does. And he says, so Satan has asked. By the way, that word for asked in the Greek is even stronger than the word asked. It's really demanded. It's kind of like what happened to Job. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Job had no idea what he was fixing to endure, but God did. It says, Satan has asked for you. Now that word for you, that first word for you in verse 31 is plural. Imagine it like this. Here's Jesus. He's got all of his disciples with him. He's showing them what a servant looks like in the Lord's Supper. He's explaining to them what his body is and what his blood is. He's giving them things about bestowing a kingdom on them, that they're going to have a new life in Christ. He's preparing them for his death and his crucifixion. He's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he turns around and he looks at his disciples and he says, Satan has asked for you. He's pointing at all of them. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And that's exactly what happened. When Jesus was arrested, where did the disciples go? They ran. They ran. So Peter's not the only one. Peter is the one that God is going to pay attention to for our story. So Peter is going to be used. He says, Peter, upon his confession of faith in Jesus, this is how he's going to build the church. So he starts with Peter. And he says another word, that he may sift you as wheat. Now that next word, you, should be italicized in your Bible, meaning it was added by the translators. He's saying, Peter, you know how wheat is sifted. He says, Satan's going to be holding the sifter. Have you ever felt like Satan's got you in the sifter? Let me tell you what happens when Satan gets you in the sifter. He's just sifting you away. It reminds me when I used to trap and I'd take the dirt. I had a sifter that I'd put dirt in, and then I'd get my trap set underground, and I would sift dirt over the top of that trap. When you sift that dirt, what's left in the screen is all the chaff. It's all the stuff that you don't want in it. Satan is taking the wheat, and he is sifting it, and the chaff, God is cutting away the flesh. Satan has no idea he's being used as a tool in the hands of God, and the flesh starts getting cut away. He's cutting the flesh away, and what's left is the wheat will fall through the sifter, and what's left is what Satan gets. Satan ends up getting all that bad stuff, and the Lord ends up getting all the good stuff. That's what happens in a test. And then look at verse 32. He says, but I have prayed for you. Now this is where Peter should have identified his stronghold, that Satan is tempting me. Because the Lord says, I have prayed for you. He sees your test before you go through it. And as our intercessor, he prays for us today. And he says, I've prayed that your faith should not fail. Now Peter stumbled, but at the end his faith did not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did you catch that? When you, Peter, I've prayed for you, your faith won't fail. And then he gives an indication that he's going to turn away from the Lord. He says, when you have returned to me. So the Lord's telling him, you're going to turn from me. But look at, Peter doesn't get it. Look at verse 33. He says, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. That's pretty strong words. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. Lord, I'll die for you. Have you ever felt that courageous in your spirit? Let me tell you, be careful there. You better keep a humble spirit always before the Lord, because the flesh is a powerful thing. The old man is a powerful thing. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you'll stay so connected to the Lord, you'll be scared to death that you're going to do the wrong thing, that you're going to get off the path. And you'll be so humble knowing that I can't even put my pants on. I can't even take the next step without the Lord Jesus Christ holding my hand. Because I want to tell you, the Bible says the heart is deceitful beyond all knowing. And so here he is, and Peter says, I'm ready to die for you. And then the Lord, here he goes, he's reminding him. I mean, he's giving him everything, but exactly what's going to happen. And he says, I tell you, Peter. Now, did you notice a word change in his name? This word change is something that Peter was going to need to remember after he denied the Lord three times. Originally, Jesus started telling him by his old name, Simon. Now he's shifted to let him know, because my prayer is powerful, I'm God. And because I've prayed for you, you can bet your bottom dollar you will return to me. And you're still Peter, but you're acting like Simon. That's the catch. I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day. You know, it amazes me. The Lord knows when your dog is going to bark. He already knows when your cat's going to meow and the birds are going to chirp and the squirrel's going to bark. He knows all that stuff. And the Lord says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And in the same chapter right here, we see that. And so that leads us to the next thing. First, we identify it. The second thing is we expose the stronghold to Scripture and accept God's word as truth. You know, that's what the Lord was trying to do. The Word became flesh. Here's the Lord giving him Scripture. Here's the Lord giving him His Word. Here's the Lord saying, I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you that Satan wants to sift you as wheat. I'm telling you that I have prayed for you. I'm telling you, Simon, that you are not ready to die for me, that you are not ready to go to prison for me. I'm telling you, Simon, that you are being tested by the evil one. Simon should have immediately turned to the Lord and said, Oh, Lord, what do I do? Lord, will you strengthen me? But he walked away in his pride. He thought he had the willpower to follow the Lord. Let me tell y'all something right here that's so important. You do not have the willpower to follow the Lord. If you follow the Lord Jesus in willpower, you will stumble and fall. But if you'll follow the Lord Jesus in submission to Him and His Word and to the Holy Spirit, greater is He that is in thee than he that is in the world. When you do that, then what tends to happen is this. Suddenly you start walking in the strength of the Lord instead of walking in the strength of a willpower of a man. Because what can seem rational and logical in your mind, because you are walking in a different kingdom than the kingdom of this world, if you are in Christ, what can seem reasonable, what can seem logical, can be in complete opposition of God. And so how do we straighten up a stronghold that seems reasonable, that seems logical? We have to take it and put it under the Scripture. And as a preacher and as a pastor, and I hope that for you as Christians as well, I follow this book. I follow the Lord. I don't worship this book. I worship Jesus Christ, but I follow the teachings of this book. And the reason is I know that what may make sense in my mind may be counter to what this book teaches. Therefore, I believe every verse from the first verse to the last verse. That's why I don't hold to evolution. And a lot of those theories, why? Because the Bible does not hold to that. Now, if I will come to an area of the Bible, and I'll argue with that error and say, you know what, God, you just have missed it right here, Lord. We just have so much science and so much education right here. Lord, you've missed it right here. What am I going to do with over here where for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Am I going to do the same thing? Lord, you just missed it over here. I tell you, you better take the Word of God as true. And I take it as true. Every single bit. And so we got to expose what we're thinking to the Word of God. And once we expose it to the Word of God, and then we say, Lord, I'm willing to listen even in my stubbornness. God, I feel stubborn right now. Lord, I want to argue with you right now because there's a stronghold in my life and it seems logical. But Lord, I'm going to submit to what you said in your word. And let me tell you what happens when you do that. Suddenly, you feel like an overcomer. You know why? You feel free. You feel lighter. And I'll tell you why you do. It's because the Lord now instructs us with spiritual truth to give us the wisdom that we need to make a physical decision while we're on this earth. Many times he has done that in my life. I can remember one day when I needed to witness to a man and I kept arguing with the Lord. Logically, it just didn't make sense. And we had a plumbing shop at that time and I was mowing the yard and it was hot and all the allergies was out and I didn't feel good and I just continued to mow and work. And the Lord kept telling me that whole weekend, you got to go witness to this guy. I'd heard about him in Sunday school, never met him personally. And I mean, it just kept bugging me and I started with a stronghold. I started arguing logically with the Lord. Lord, that must not be you. That's probably me thinking this because I've never met this guy. And Lord, I go knock on his door. He's liable to shoot me. He doesn't know who I am. And Lord, I can't. I just don't. And I argued and argued. The next day, which was a Sunday, I had a horrible headache. And after church, I told Teresa, I said, I don't even think I can go to eat. I'm just going to go lay down on the couch. It was terrible. And I did. And I'm laying on the couch and ever throb in my head, the Lord saying, you got to go witness to this guy. You got to go witness to this guy. So finally, I determined that my rationale just didn't working with God. He's not listening to any of it. So I got up at that moment, and I went to that guy's house, and I knocked on his door. He came to his door, and he had a halo on his head, not one of those kind. He had broke his neck in a car accident, the kind that they put the screws in your skull, that kind. And he invited me in, and I mean, he had this really, really nice place, and there was beer cans laying around. He asked me if I wanted a drink, and I said, no, thank you. I said, look, I'm not going to be here very long, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got a terrible headache, and I just want to share with you that I've been fighting the Lord all weekend about sharing the gospel with you. But I feel that God has told me to do it, and that's what I'm going to do. And I said, I've got this little Share Jesus Without Fear Bible, and I don't even really know how to use it very well, but I feel terribly, so I'm going to use it as a guide. He said, okay. He sat down, and I mean, he was very reasonable, and I started doing everything in the Share Jesus Without Fear. And I turned it around and say, now you read this verse and tell me what it means to you. That guy got saved in tears right there at his couch. And what did I have? I had a 2 Corinthians 10:4 stronghold. I had a rational stronghold. You know, it reminds me this morning on the way to church, I looked up in the sky and I hadn't seen any geese in a while. And I saw a whole flock of geese headed towards Chicken Express. They were going like that. And I don't know what they were going over to Chicken Express for, but that's the direction they were headed. And I mean, they were in their V. And so I'm looking up, and I'm like, that is so nice. I just love to watch geese. And I love that point goose that's up there in the front. And I drive up about another quarter of a mile on 849, and then here comes another flock of geese headed towards Chicken Express. And then I get on further up, and here comes another flock of geese. And they're even angling towards Chicken Express. I may go to Chicken Express for lunch today. And then I get on up the road a little further, about a half a mile, and there's this one lonely geese, or goose. This one goose is all by itself. And I mean, it's just flapping its wings as hard as it can because it's out of the flock. It's not connected to the point person. It's not following the right pattern. And that goose is doing like this. It's almost flying that way towards Whataburger. It's going north. This goose is going north. The other geese are going east. Why is that goose going north? It's trying to find the flock. Because it had a stronghold. Something happened with that goose. And that goose quit listening to what the kingdom and the natural GPS and the desire to migrate that had been placed in that goose by God, that goose got off course somehow. And so how do we get back on course? And that's our third point. You got to defeat the stronghold by accepting God's word as truth. Defeat the stronghold by accepting God's word as truth. Let me show you something. Flip over chapter 22 and look at verse 57. And I want to show you how the Lord used his word to get Peter back on track. This is where he begins to deny the Lord. Remember, the Lord has been arrested. He says, but he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. That's the first denial. Verse 58. And after a while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. That's the second denial. Verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Here's the third denial, verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Now imagine this. While he is saying, man, I do not know what you're saying, you know what they heard? Not that, but it was a rooster crowing. They heard a rooster crow. And Peter, now you got to see this, because to get back on track, you've got to remember the word of Christ. You've got to remember the kingdom you belong to, and you've got to remember the forgiveness and love that's been provided to you in Christ. And here it is right here. This is a beautiful verse in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You ought to underline that. Because I guarantee you, I don't know about you, but in my life I have failed the Lord many times. I failed him last night at Walgreens Pharmacy when I walked down the aisle that had special dark chocolate. We were getting a prescription for my mother, and Caitlin was over there handling that. And I said, I'm going to go walk around in the store. I never got off of the aisle with all the chocolate on it. I was going to buy Teresa to justify this big Valentine's heart, because I know that she doesn't really care for chocolate. And I thought, she'll be so appreciative of this great, big, beautiful heart. And I get all the chocolate that's inside. And the Lord said, your motive isn't right, Bruce. So I resisted that, but I bought some other stuff to eat on the way home. But we fail the Lord. You're going to fail the Lord. I'm going to fail the Lord. And when you fail the Lord, take heart right here and underline this. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And the Lord will turn and look at you. That's what we call today with the Holy Spirit. We call that conviction. But what it really is, because the Spirit is taken of what is mine and declaring it to you, when that conviction hits, it was the Spirit taking a message from Jesus himself, because Jesus himself is now at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is saying through the Spirit, I see you. Y'all, that ought to bring so much encouragement to us. Because when you get that conviction, it's not just conviction of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus looking at you to turn you around. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. There's the key. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now look at the repentance. Verse 62. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Y'all, he felt sorrow for offending his Lord. But you know what I think he felt even more? The Bible says, for the love of God leadeth unto repentance. I think what he felt at that moment, here's my Savior going to a cross. Here's my Savior going to be beaten. Here's my Savior that loves me enough that he took time out prior to this episode to warn me of Satan's sifting. He took time out to let me know that I would return and that there's going to be a time I've got to strengthen my brethren. He took the time out to look at me while he's going to his death. He's looking at me. Y'all, that's the Jesus that we serve. Is that wonderful or what? Let me tell you, God loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And he'll come to your heart at times you don't even expect it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.